This episode of The Payload is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo.
The podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Everybody, welcome to episode number 54, right? It's got to be 54.
54.
It is 54 of The Payload. We're an Overwatch podcast. I swear one of you switch that every week just to mess with me. And I think it's Jimmy. Today is January 26, 2017 from Denver, Colorado. Yep, that's where I'm from. I'm John Horseman. And with me is the crew. First,
are you sure that's where you're from?
Yeah.
First, you know, sometimes it changes. I'm a very busy guy, you know, traveling the world. From this, why did my cameras? We're just a mess this week.
You know, when we first started, I noticed that the camera wasn't on Skype, and I was like, "Is he doing something new where we can't see him?" But the stream came. I thought you just hated us.
I mean,
okay, you don't have to. Okay, moving on.
All right.
Yeah. She want you to agree with her. Come on.
Anyways, we've got an incredible show for you. First, from Console Land, California, it's none other than Rosh. Hey, Rosh, how you doing?
You know, I forgot that you were on my Twitter, or I wouldn't have posted that I was playing Overwatch on the PS4.
I would have found out.
I might have tagged John to make sure.
Yeah, Jimmy, I almost went past him without knowing.
Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I do watch Game of Thrones.
I've got little birds everywhere, so I would have figured out one way or another.
You're not supposed to know who the little birds are, though, and I know that it was Jimmy that tagged you in it, so I think you need some new little birds. I don't think it's working. But hey, I'm excited for the show. And if you can't even remember where you live to announce it to where you're coming from, I can't expect you to remember where I'm at in Cali because you never did originally. But I'm excited to talk about all the stuff that we have on the show and to get teased for playing Overwatch on the PS4. So
Jimmy,
ready.
Your talk time just doubled on this show, by the way. So, you're going to get a much more thorough opportunity to analyze Overwatch. From Camarillo, California, it's Jimmy Bloxham. Hey, Jimmy, sorry. We're off base.
It's all good. It's going to be one of those shows.
I hope it's
going to be one of those shows where we say, oh, there's not enough for us to fill up an hour. It's going to go like an hour and 45.
Yeah, you know, for the fans, Jimmy, for the fans. Yeah.
Because I definitely have some thoughts.
Good. That's good. You're doing a podcast about Overwatch. I hope you brought thoughts with you because we can't just succeed with your handsome face alone. So
stop.
Please stop it. Anyways. All right. Well, we are an Overwatch podcast and there's a lot of Overwatch stuff to talk about this week. So we better jump right in. Talk about our weeks in console watch, Overwatch. Rosh, what have you been up to this week in Overwatch, console Overwatch?
I played one game on the PlayStation and forever am ridiculed for it. I'm never going to live this down. I am no longer a Mercy streamer on Twitch for PC. I'm the Overwatch console player now because I played one game because my roommates bought Overwatch for their consoles. Okay, but past, you know, having to kill myself playing console watch, I Have been playing ranked on my Switch. I forgot what I was doing there. The fact that I was on console just rocked my world. I've just been messing around on ranked Overwatch on my Smurf right now, trying to figure out how easy it is to play Mercy in this new meta. It's still awful, still just the worst support that you could possibly play in this meta, but it does feel a little bit better. So I guess there's that with the patch changes. And I've kind of just been seeing how the meta shifts and stuff in the game. But other than that, haven't really been up to too much. I think this is the most ranked that I've played in like a month and a half. So that's pretty cool.
Nice. Good for you. Glad to see you're back on the ranked train. You weren't doing that for a while. Cool. What have you been up to, Jimmy? What's going on, man?
Yeah, I played some ranked as well. Tried to play with a friend, and it did not go well. So I have a feeling I'm going to just need to solo queue for a while and get myself up to about 1800 and then play with some friends so that the quality games are a little bit better. And then also I logged on to check out the Year of the Rooster event, and we'll talk a bit more about that later. But it's
the skins
are nice.
Why you gotta spoil, I'll say that, Jimmy? you never allude to what you're gonna talk about later. That's podcasting 404. It's actually not true at all on this podcast either. Yeah.
Alternative fact.
Hashtag alternative fact. yep, we're not gonna go there. Let's go in. Oh, actually, for me, I've been working on a new esports project.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
You know, someday I'm gonna let one of these guys push the buttons. I'm just like, this is the week that Rosh hosted and pushed the buttons and edited and produced and streamed. And
well, it'll be our best podcast. It'll be the best
podcast. All right, next week, Rosh is going to be producing the podcast. I am not even joking. As I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted, I've been working on a new project called the Esports. Was that an earthquake?
I think so. No, it was a skateboarder outside at 7:15. Anyway, I'm going to mute my mic now.
Even the universe doesn't want us to get through this show. I've been working on a new project called the Esports Fast Break. And we're actually going to do it later in this show, but play it. We're going to play it later in the show and we're going to see what you guys think. But that's been taking up a lot of my time in trying to figure that out. So Overwatch, I did get to play a little bit. I'm back down to like 29-15 right now. So back into Platinum land, but you know, all good. I'm having fun playing. I'm really excited. I haven't played since the new patch dropped. And I'm really excited to see how that went. But that's about it for me. Let's go into the news.
This week in Overwatch.
All right. So before we get started on the show, we do want to thank our MVPs, Adam B, J.A., Coral, and Tommy H., which I learned this week is actually pronounced Corel. I did a little Hearthstone session with Corel, and it was awesome. We played some Dragon Warrior for you Hearthstone fans out there, so that was a lot of fun. And yeah, so thank you so much for your support of the show. If you like the show, want to support it, and want to hang out with us, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. All right. We got some big news this week. Just earlier today, we discovered that Overwatch has hit 25 million active players. Hey, look at us. Woo. For reference, I don't know if Hearthstone has announced anything beyond 30 million active players since. That was about 8 or 9 months ago, but still, I haven't heard anything from them since. And from opening weekend or launch weekend, they announced 7 million players, meaning they're doing all right. There's a few people playing Overwatch. Even if they weren't, I am subsidizing Blizzard fine with my Overwatch loot box purchases. So yeah. Yeah,
you have a problem with that.
I do. I need to go to a Loot Boxes Anonymous meeting, I think. It's in Jimmy's house. Yeah. It's a long way to go. It's hard to go all the way to Camarillo, California for that. I could buy so many Blizzard loot boxes with that money.
So Blizzard reports these numbers, but they don't report how many of these players actually push the payload, because that's got to be a really low number.
Yeah, zero.
As someone who plays a fair bit of Lucio, I spend a lot of time on that payload. Rocking with the payload. That's what he says, right? That's the line, right?
Payload.
So anyways, congratulations to the Overwatch team. Game of the year. Esport of the year. Multiplayer game of the year. Going to be an amazing 2017. We've already seen. Already, we're 26 days in. We have a new event with the Year of the Rooster, which I was not expecting this to happen so fast. We talked about it last show, but the Year of the Rooster is now live. It's January 24th through the 13th. Really cool thing, though, is the Overwatch Tapestry, Winston's Journey to the West. Did you guys watch the Media Fire version of it that's, like, animated and has music in the background?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I watched it.
Really short, right? I didn't miss anything.
No, it was really short, but it was really cool.
When it ended, I was like, "Am I clicking on the wrong button? Did I just miss half of it? Because it just ended so abruptly."
There's nothing wrong with it being uncultured. Short, I wasn't expecting it to be so short, but it was great. I love it that they have these, like the Christmas comic. This is just kind of a fun little story and a throwback to Winston and adopted
father. Are you sure it's not canon?
I didn't say it wasn't canon. Did I?
I mean, maybe the Christmas one is canon too, I guess.
It is.
I suppose it is, right? I wonder if the reveal. Halloween one is canon with Junkenstein. Probably not. So... Yeah, it was really neat. You guys need to check this out. And again, anytime a comic comes out, check out the Media Fire version at least once, because they're so cool when they're animated, and they're awesome. And also for all of you CTF fans, you know how World of Warcraft has people who want legacy servers? I feel like Overwatch has people who want Capture the Flag as a game mode. It's that very small vocal minority.
In some bizarre land, I feel like this is Blizzard being like, here, you guys wanted it, play it. But I know they wouldn't necessarily put that much.
So we do have an
effort into it, just to appease some people. But I don't know.
So we do have a Capture the Flag mode. We do have a Capture the Flag mode, which is golf clap, little golf clap there. Yay. Honestly, my favorite part about the Capture the Flag mode is the spawns for Capture the Flag.
That's my only favorite part about it now, because I feel the same way, because I walked out and I was like, oh, this is actually pretty cool. It's pretty snazzy. And now that I've actually played some of the rounds, I like nothing else about it. So it's strictly just that. It's strictly just the spawn room.
I am a Symmetra defense main on Capture the Flag.
Of course you are.
I mean,
be the easiest way to collect your loot box, because I lost twice in a row trying to be like, oh, I'm going to try to grab the flag and be aggressive. And then I was like, I'm going to play Torb. And it was the most boring game of my life, but I won and I got my loot box and probably not going to play Capture the Flag again.
It was fun when it first came out and no one really knew to run Tracer, Torb, Symmetra. So it was kind of fun because people were just doing everything and having fun with the game. But now it's literally every single map you log into. It's just Tracer, Torb, Symmetra, and it's kind of just not fun at all. I feel like it could have been fun if maybe they didn't let Tracer's Blink or Genji's Shift or Sombra's Teleport stick with the flag, keep the flag on there. I feel like if they had made it to where it dropped it, it would be a little more fun, so that those mobility characters who can capture the flag in 5 seconds aren't viable. But as it stands, I don't think it was a huge success. I don't know.
It is a brawl, right?
I think it could be fun if it's like two coordinated teams playing against each other, but in a quick match style, it's a little, I don't know.
Go in with a six stack. Trust me, go in with the six stack. It's one of the few games modes in Overwatch where you can go in as a six stack and not, you know, face Cloud Nine in in matchmaking. So yeah, definitely do that. It is fun though, and it's very cool. And of course, we've got a ton of cosmetic items as well. We've got sweet skins and sprays and anything else. Any particular favorites for you guys on this one besides the D.Va skin?
Dang, stole mine.
Gotcha. I don't let you get the easy answers on this podcast. I am Alex Trebek. That $100 question will get you sometimes.
I really like the skins. I really like all of the skins, not just the I think these are probably the best skins that have been released as a combination. Just overall, I feel like they're the best. Like, I am kind of peeved because the Zenyatta skin is really, really cool. And I just opened like 50 loot boxes for the Christmas event to get the Nutcracker skin. And now I have to open a bunch to get the three because, I mean, knowing my luck, I'm not going to get the skin out of a loot box. So I'm going to have to open up a lot more to get 3K coins to buy a second Zenyatta skin.
It's because you've upset the loot box gods. They've given you gifts and you've hoarded them. You put your candle under a bushel. And I think there's a song about doing that. Don't do that.
That might be why.
The Ana one is slightly terrifying.
I thought that at first. I first saw the Ana one and I was like, oh, but then I actually really looked at it, and with the golden gun, it looks pretty cool in a creepy way, but I think it looks pretty cool. I think the Symmetra, because of the port, like the orb on her arm, it looks just like Iron Man. And ever since I've seen Iron Man, I've realized that that's exactly what it looks like. I can't unsee it, so I actually don't really care for the Symmetra skin that much. But other than that...
Are you saying you don't like Iron Man?
It's not that I don't like Iron Man. It's just simply
careful
Overwatch. I'm just playing Overwatch, and I can't unsee... It's Symmetra, not Iron Man. I can't do it. It's too, I don't like it, but all of the other skins are really cool.
What about the Roadhog skin?
Yeah, Roadhog's pretty cool.
What? No, it's freaky and gross.
Why?
It's like a pig head on a guy. And
his other skins aren't gross?
I have something against people wearing pig masks.
Okay, I can see that.
Like stitch onto your collarbone.
Okay, yeah, that's true. I think the highlight intros are really, really cool, too. The Tracer one, where she gets in the... I think it's so cute. And the Mercy one. I know I'm biased because I'm a Mercy main, so please go easy on me. But I think it's probably the best highlight intro that's come out. I think they did a really good job with these skins and highlight intros and stuff like that.
This is also one that I think I would... The skins I would wear year-round... I'm not in May. I'm not going to be rocking the Zenyatta skin more than likely, but I would rock most of these other skins year round if I really like them. So, or if I felt like changing. So, kudos. I like having more skins that aren't tied to like a specific time of year because
I agree.
It's like your crazy aunt who still has her Dickens Village Christmas tree up in April. Like think I'm joking, but nobody can be so specific to say Dickens Village Christmas tree in April unless they really have one. And I do. She, no joke, has this Christmas tree with all these little porcelain villages. I don't know what if the aliens come in 50 years, they're gonna wonder which god we were praying to when they see my aunt's Christmas tree.
How about two legendary Maze skins? now May fans will they've gotten their legendary skins for May.
She's
happy now, right?
She's slimmed.
Are you
down
happy? Are you
bit.
Not entertained?
She slimmed down a little bit too. JK, it was an accident.
Oh my gosh.
Settle down, internet. bug. It's going to get fixed. It'll come in a patch, though. It won't be coming as a hot fix. So relax. Even the Overwatch team makes mistakes. So there's that. Let's.
Yeah, like tracer poses.
Yeah. Right. Cool.
Speaking of old crap, sorry.
So we just to reiterate, so that's it. Anything else for the Year of the Rooster event we wanted to jump into?
No, I think we covered it all.
Good. Good. We also had the new patch hit live servers this week. We've talked about these at length, so we're not going to talk about them anymore. But here's what we saw. We do have the stay in team button, the emote and spray wheel, the antibiotic grenade nerf for both the duration and the strength. So 50% reduction in her healing with biotic grenade, and then a 1 second duration removal on the length of the biotic grenade. We saw the D.Va health armor swap. We saw the Lucio. Oh, this is actually new. They put this in last minute. The backward wall ride. We're going to call this the moonwalk button. Is the now an ride? Option. So the moonwalk wall ride is going to be on live servers now. So for those who are sick of seeing all the Lucio climbing montages, now you can just do it the other way. I'm going to post a fake one. I'm going to grab an old Lucio montage and I'm going to just play it in reverse and just say I'm using the reverse button.
There you go. Yeah.
For those who didn't know about the Lucio thing, you actually have to go in and enable it under the specific hero settings, but it's right under like team health plates and there's one other setting, but you just turn it on and then you can enable it in the game. I think it's a cool move because the wall riding Lucio was really easy to target and take out because you couldn't go backwards. So I think it's going to make Lucio even more viable than he already is, which I'm bitter about, but I think it was a cool move. I think he should have been able to wall skate backwards. So I like that.
Right. We also got the Roadhog hook change and the Sombra buffs. So that's all. That's live now on PC and console where Rosh enjoys her time the most. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead. Let's jump into esports.
Faster than sight. So predictable.
Oh, yeah. So, all right. Come into your team. Huddle up. We've got to discuss something. We love esports here on The Payload and at BlizzPro and on WellMet. We love esports. We want to talk about esports every week. But we notice that there's one thing that really sucks about talking about esports is it takes forever to explain. It really does. And you find that by the time you've talked about the teams playing and the scores and the tournaments, you don't actually Jimmy your Skype message.
Sorry.
Rosh had to mute her mic. Said skateboarders outside. Jimmy says 5:40 pop, shove it. Oh my God. Oh, this show is the worst.
Oh, look at Kevin leaves the show's a disaster. Yeah.
I can see Kevin's disdainful look right now. Just that judgment comes all the way from Canada.
I feel
right
it
down there.
He's not in Canada anymore. He's in Cali. He comes from Cali.
But he's Canadian.
Okay, yeah.
He's Canadian.
Canadian.
Does a Canadian even know how to hate something? Does he even know how to be angry?
Kevin's special.
Kevin's a special Canadian. That's why they're sending him to the United States.
Good point.
Anyways, as I was saying, it's really difficult to talk about. So we had this idea of something called an esports fast break, and we debuted it on WellMet. People really responded positively to it. So I made one for Overwatch, and I also made it video, and it's available on my personal channel right now. Just Google Kick Tripod YouTube. You'll find it there. And ideally, it'll be on the BlizzPro channel once we get it to a place where we really like it or think it's good enough. I think it's still really good now, but we're going to find out. So this is going to get you caught up on all the esports stuff in 3 minutes or less. And then from there, we're going to actually break down and talk about what you care about. Ow, my neck. This isn't happening, right? You know when you get that thing in your neck, you move it one way randomly.
Do you mean to call Katie or Katie?
Katie, help me. Anyways, so we're going to go into this week's esports fast break while I go cry. And for a very serious moment, if you like it, if you don't like it, if you think that there are things that can make it better, go ahead, send us an email to thepayload@blizzpro.com, tweet us at Payload Podcast. Write an iTunes review, post in Discord, whatever you want to do. And we're going to talk about Discord a little bit later, but, any of that, just let me know what you think. Let's go ahead into this week's fast break.
With Apex Season 2 and Overwatch Winter Premiere taking most of the top tier talent in January, this month's Alienware Monthly Melee was an opportunity for new teams and talent to step into the spotlight. This month's Melee included Rise Nation, Luminosity Gaming, Splice, Team Liquid, newcomers Spicy Boys, Hammers Esports, Denial, and FaZe Clan, who is making their first appearance since dropping Too Easy on January 9th. Denial and Splice didn't get much done in this tournament and quickly dropped out after losing two sets and not winning a single map. FaZe Clan, with their new Roadhog main Michael Adams taking the spot of Too Easy, didn't fare well, missing the playoff stage by just one game. Most surprising, however, was Hammers Esports, who had defeated tournament favorite Luminosity Gaming as well as Splice in group play. Also showing strong, Spicy Boys defeated FaZe and Rise Nation before losing to Luminosity Gaming in the semifinals. In the grand finals, Hammers Esports sweeps Luminosity Gaming 3-0 to secure the win and the $3,000 grand prize. Many of the teams absent at the Alienware Monthly Melee were busy attending Overwatch Apex Season 2. This last week, we saw Cloud9's first appearance since Gods replaced Kaikai. As Gods looks to share the majority of the DPS load with Sure4 and Mendo Kusai, the C9 fanbase may finally see the team that they were hoping for all along. As Cloud9 continues to struggle at LAN events, the team is looking to turn their luck around against Korean team Kanbok Spirit. The situation looked bleak as Kanbok Spirit handily dealt with Cloud9 on Ilios. However, that would be the last map won for Kanbok Spirit, as a quick audible putting Sure4 on Zarya and Mendo Kusai on Tracer and Soldier 76 proved to be too much. Cloud9 takes the series 3-1. In another East versus West battle, Fnatic is looking to build on their third place finish at Las Vegas last December. After getting knocked out of the first round at Apex Season 1 and placing 5th at IEM Jeonji, the initial optimism for Kangdu Panthera has turned into raised eyebrows as the team struggles to get things going. However, riding on the backs of Rascal and Waka Waka, Kangdu Panthera take a decisive victory against Fnatic 3-0. The death toll in this series? Fnatic 143, Kangdu Panthera, not Soldier, 76. The sweeps didn't end there as Lunatic High 3-0s Afrika Freaks Red and Meta Athena turns heads with a 3-0 victory against BK Stars. Lunatic High controlled the pacing and staggered spawns in their strong performance against Afrika Freaks Red. While unable to take a map, Korean players and announcers are still optimistic that Afrika Freaks Red is a strong contender and their relatively new roster was mainly to blame. Through 2 weeks of Apex Season 2, we've seen 4 of the 6 series decided by 2 or more matches. Next week, we have 2 all-Korean matches with Kangdu Onsia taking on Afrika Freaks Blue and Runaway going head-to-head with Flash Lux. That's it for this week's Esports Fast Break.
Woo! That was it. So that's it. That was... let us know what you think about that in chat. And of course, for those of you on audio and you on YouTube as well, we get to see the video portion of it. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what you found helpful, what you didn't find helpful, and how long it will take to get Rosh to record that instead of me so we can get somebody else's voice in that one. So... yeah. Anyways, cool. So there's quite a bit we wanted to talk about this past week. Again, we had Monthly Melee and Apex Season 2. I want to talk about monthly Melee a little bit for a second. We saw two teams this past week, Hammers Esports and Spicy Boys, that are new to the scene, show up and do well. A lot of this has to do with the fact that, again, so many big teams are in the Winter Premier and Apex Season 2. It really opened the door for some of these lesser known, I don't even want to say casual, but the guys who go and do a full-time job and then come back and play Overwatch versus the guys who just get to play Overwatch all day. And so they definitely showed up huge here, and we saw that from both Spicy Boys and Hammers Esports. Do you think that there is still more talent at the caliber of a Team Liquid or a like a Luminosity still out there? Or do you think that this is just kind of a little bit of a fluke and these guys should be up there in the running in the first place?
No, I definitely think there is much more talent out there. A lot of the teams that we're seeing now that, you know, Cloud9, Luminosity, Envious, all of these teams came from a lot of players that were in the closed beta. And it kind of just sealed the doors when it came to competitive wise. And if you weren't in that closed beta, you missed out on huge opportunities. And a lot of players now playing Overwatch, I know so many people who out there play at the level of the caliber of play that these people were playing in closed beta. They could have had just as much equal opportunity to be on those teams, but because they weren't there for closed beta, that opportunity was missing. So I think that there are tons and tons of people out there that have the qualifications and the skill and the dedication to do, you know, to equal these players on these teams. And I think that you're always going to see that, especially with how popular that Overwatch is. There are going to be plenty of people out there that can do the same thing that you're seeing on these teams. They won't have as much experience at first because these teams have been playing for Cloud9, Luminosity, all these guys this entire time. So they have experience on LAN, all of that. So you'll see these new teams struggle a little bit as they come up, but I definitely think that will happen, and I think that it will happen especially a lot with the league coming up.
Yeah, and I want to piggyback off of that because the league really came to mind almost immediately because they're going to take these people who are really good at the game, but maybe they just have no interest in playing professionally, and then all of a sudden they'll get an invite from Blizzard because they're in the top 200, and they'll be like, all right, why not? I'll take a shot at this. They'll make the league. They'll see that they're actually able to play at this really high competitive level. And also, I want to bring up a point that Skyline brought up last week. Overwatch is a baby when it comes to esports. We still haven't even seen a whole lot of what's to come. I mean, we'll probably look back at games from this month, a year or two from now, and be like, wow, people were terrible back then. They didn't know what they were doing. And also, the meta shifts, and that brings different players and different teams up. We've seen this, I think, in the last few months of Overwatch last year, where certain teams just were doing better with the three tank meta versus the 2-2-2. So the meta is definitely going to favor certain players' play styles over others. And I think it's definitely a possibility that we have much more unnoticed players and teams rising to compete with these other top teams.
Yeah, I agree.
So you guys already answered my next question a little bit, but I do want to ask, do you think that there's anything more beyond Overwatch League that can help make these up-and-coming undiscovered stars give them a venue to show off their skills?
I think maybe a show match or something like that. Maybe Blizzard could put up some show matches from some of the kind of mid professional teams to some of these up and comers and to see how they play against each other. I think it's going to be a little harder for Overwatch to do this compared to something like League or Heroes, which is their structure is set up to where mid season or at the end of the season, you have these relegation matches. And so these amateur teams or lesser known teams get to play against the bottom part of the professional teams and get a chance to get into these leagues. Yeah. Now, I don't think Overwatch League is going to be set up quite like that, but that's one way to do it. And I think this is just a problem in all of esports. It's the amateur scene definitely has less views than the professional scene. And it's kind of hard to get people to be like, oh yeah, watch these up and comers when they can watch the top tier. And that's what people are really going to want to watch.
Well, and we saw this with Hearthstone last year, right? So in Hearthstone, they took a very invitational, agnostic, almost anti-invitational viewpoint on competitive Hearthstone. The advantages were we got to discover a bunch of amazing players, like VLPS, who we had just a couple of weeks ago, on top of players like Hot Meowth, even Ray C. You know, he's up to, you know, a couple thousand followers on Twitch because of how the new system was set up. But overall, Hearthstone viewership really struggled. Teams were disbanded. There were, you know, tons of teams kind of leaving that there. And I think it's going to be interesting to see. Now, Hearthstone doesn't have a Hearthstone League. They have HCT, and it's a one-player type thing. So there's a lot of contrasts between Hearthstone and Overwatch that you can definitely make and say why that what doesn't apply. But I think, Jimmy, to your point, Heroes does it really, at least in a really cool and on paper, very elegant way to allow players like, you know, who are right at that rung and just either because of time, exposure, money, where they're from, aren't able to kind of jump up into that next tier. The other question I wanted to ask you guys, though, is that FaZe didn't do too well in the Alienware Monthly Melee. And I would put them up there in the premier teams, right? They were at MLG Vegas, I believe, or that IEM.
It was MLG, and they really have fallen off since then, I feel like. And I want to say, oh, it's just because it's really hard to just plug another person in your team, but we had Envious just like destroy a tournament, just plug in someone new. And
Cloud9 really too, right?
Yeah, Cloud9 too looks pretty solid. Yeah, it might be a clash in personalities. I don't know. I don't know how their shot calling is. There's a variety of factors. And is FaZe in trouble without Too Easy? I think the answer is yes.
I think I have to agree. They've kind of been struggling for a little while now, and it kind of just seemed we don't really know why Too Easy left. It hasn't been released, or has anything come out? I didn't think it had been.
I haven't heard anything outside of the tweet that I've seen, and I did a little bit of research, so I'm not totally stupid.
Well, I think I kind of felt like they were falling off for a little while. I've watched them for back when they had a whole different team set up, and they kind of struggled with, you know, the teamwork and communication on that. And it just kind of gone a little up and down and back and forth. And I feel like since they dropped Too Easy, they kind of went back down. We'll see if they come back up. I wouldn't be surprised if they continue to fall off unless something drastic changes and fast, but we'll see with what happens with them.
Well, Mike Adams, the new player who's sitting in or who's taking that sixth slot, played a lot of Roadhog, played quite a bit of Pharah as well, came in, and he wasn't stellar. When we walked away from Apex Season 1 and Mickey, we were like, the dude was stellar, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't that Mike did anything wrong. I don't want to say like, ooh, he didn't gel with the team, but to expect players at the level of Gods or Mickey, you know, to expect a player like Mike to perform on that level, I think is a little disingenuous.
Ambitious?
Because that doesn't, it doesn't happen a whole lot. But at the same time, too, FaZe just for whatever reason, like they can't rally around Shadowburn. Time and time again, he's playing Genji right now, which I think that the changes that we're seeing in the meta should help Genji hypothetically.
I was about to say some teams now that we're out of this tank meta, I think you're definitely going to see some teams that might have been struggling this entire time really improve. And anybody who's ever played with the team knows that if you guys aren't doing well competitively or at LAN, there's going to be strife within the team. That's going to create pressure. That's going to create stress. You guys are going to start having arguments that you would never have had if you guys were actually winning games and doing decently. So now with the meta changes, I could be completely wrong. FaZe could rise up and they could, everything could click and everything could come together and everything could just completely change for them. So I think that that's still something to definitely watch. It's like you're saying, you can't really come up around this Genji that's not really doing anything because of the meta, though. So if that changes and he can start leading the team, then who knows what could happen? It could be completely different a month from now.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm glad that my initial thoughts that Genji could be better. And I think that I don't think FaZe is totally comfortable in a four tank meta. I think three and allowing Shadowburn, because even in the four tank meta, they just let FaZe go with Shadowburn. They just let him go anyways. And they took second place at MLG Vegas, right? So like they are a team capable of being great. We just have to see either them make the changes to adapt to the meta or for the meta to change to adapt to where their team is currently best suited. Let's move on to Apex Season 2. Rosh, you and I know for sure are really excited to talk about this. I don't know if Jimmy has a God's crush, but Rosh and I do.
I don't even have a God's crush. You I have just a God's like the
crush.
Guy.
You have a God's crush.
Oh my
crush.
Gosh. I have
honest.
A Cloud Nine crush. They're just my favorite team. So it just, I like God's as a player. He joined my favorite team, which is all perfectly happening. And it just set up the rest of my
the
year
mood
to be
was
great.
Just great. And he looked you in the eyes and wooed you. Okay. Anyways, are we seeing the Cloud Nine team that can finally live up to the hype? It was scary. They got rocked on Ilios, right? Mm-hmm. They got their butts handed to them. And then they turn around. And what they do is they actually switch Surefour, who you kind of immediately when you're thinking panic mode, we're not getting enough damage out. Let's put Surefour on a McCree or another DPS. They move him to Zarya and move Mendo Kusai to Tracer and Soldier. And that was all they needed. And then they didn't give up another map until another point. Even well, they gave up like points, but they didn't lose sections of the map yet. Anyways, from then, is this the Cloud9 team that we're finally looking for?
I think so. And I think that the addition to Gods was definitely great. From knowing his personality and then knowing, you know, like Mendo and Ribs and everybody else and Surefour's personality, it seemed like a good mesh just looking from the outside and how their personalities were, let alone their actual play styles in the games. Gods is nutty on his tanks. And that's something that Surefour, you couldn't really say the same for Surefour's D.Va. And it just hurt to not see Mendo on a DPS as much as it hurt to not see Surefour on a McCree. They came out in the first round. And I think the reason they got so rocked the first round is because I think that they were preemptively trying to run this DPS combo that they can do now that the tank meta has shifted a little bit. Because Surefour was on McCree. They pulled out a Pharah. They pulled out Genji Tracer. It just seemed like they were trying to push this DPS meta that you can get away with now before the nerfs to Ana and the tanks pushed out. So it seemed like they had a little trouble. But after that, like you said, it kind of just clicked and they steamrolled over Combox. And even Combox, I think it was game three, Combox picked Hanamura, the double capture point map. Yep. And we were all like, I was sitting there and I was like, oh my gosh, Combox has been scrimming for this. They knew this was going to happen. This was their leverage. You know, they knew that no one was going to scrim or practice a double capture point. They're going to come in here and they're going to roll Cloud9 because Cloud9 didn't expect a double capture point map. And the complete opposite happened. And it was so nice to watch. So,
can I give you a fun fact really quick about that Hanamura match? Do you know how long it took for Cloud9 to capture point A?
I think it was like, you know the exact time. I can tell on your face. You're like waiting. But what is it, like a minute and 15 seconds?
A minute and 5 seconds. Get wrecked.
I was close.
Get told.
I was close.
Get
told. But you were over, so you lose.
That's true. I was over, so.
Price is right rules.
I was wrong.
1 second, Bob.
no, but it definitely came together. And Cloud9, the way that Strif War and Mendo play is they're not as great on the tanks. And the fact that they were able to come out and do as well as they did on this tank meta that they're not the best at just points to the fact that now that the meta is shifting to more DPS viable competitive team games, they're just going to get better and better and better. So I'm beyond excited to see this version of Cloud9, and I'm super excited to continue watching them at Apex with the production quality and the casters and all of that good stuff. I can't wait. I'm super excited, and I'm ready to see them win the entire Apex Season 2.
Right. I love what you brought up about Surefort. So Surefort played I would say at least relatively extensively, five heroes with D.Va, McCree, which again, we're talking about Surefort's McCree, Pharah, and Tracer. He went 11-9. With his Zarya, he went 22-8.
Yeah, as soon as they switched, it was huge.
And Mendo, 2-3 and 1-3 on Genji and Zarya, and then 13-8 and 18-9 on Tracer and Soldier, respectively. So some pretty impressive changes there. Gods was really solid. He played mainly Roadhog that map, I believe. He goes 35
which
and
23. I don't think was really a surprise to anybody.
Yeah,
Gods
right.
is insane on his Roadhog. Well,
and there's just nobody who you really are going to put in that, right? You're not putting Ride there. You're not putting Rolf.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not putting Adam there. And then,
the one thing that I would say about Cloud9 is Ribs Reinhardt. I don't know if you guys are watching chat at all, but it was like, time to watch Rib ult some Reinhardt shields. Like, we're ready to see him. And I noticed when I was watching that it happened a lot. And I think that's just a team communication thing. Like, why are you ulting this? Why was it not clear? You guys should have been talking about this. Like, oh, the Reinhardt's going to shield. I just feel like maybe it was nerves being at Apex. Maybe it was Gods being on the team. I don't know, but I feel like if that's what they need to work on to get to the next level, it's not Reinhardt ulting a Reinhardt shield, possibly. Because I know on that first Ilios, that was a huge reason that they even lost that map, was because there were so many ults that were just eaten by the Reinhardt's shield. So it gave Combox a lot of opportunities to just come back and team wipe the group and then take the match, which is what they did. So past that, though, I'm really excited to see the upcoming meta changes with Cloud9 and how they react.
Jimmy, any thoughts here?
Yeah, just I usually try to not put too much stock into one series, but I mean, their dominance on Hollywood and Hanamura and their ability to be really flexible in their picks and basically figure out the meta kind of on the fly of their opponent, it looks really good for Cloud9 going forward. Yeah, I think it looks good. I'm not going to say like, oh my gosh, they're going to be like top two, top four in this tournament quite yet, but
they might definitely look good.
We'll see. They might be, yeah. I'm not saying they will, though.
As far as name recognition goes, I mean, you've got Envious, NRG, and Cloud9. Those are the three for sure. And people don't get recognized for nothing. Sure, there are people who are just great streamers or, you know, pick a weird hero or get one big YouTube video. But those are three real serious teams and serious contenders. And I'm finally comfortable. I know Kevin, before he left the show, we were talking about MLG Vegas. And his favorite was Cloud9 the whole way. He was all in on Cloud9. And I've never been able to put that much stake into Cloud9. I feel like I finally can now with the addition of Gods. So that's going to be a really interesting thing going forward.
Ask me again after the next series.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Before we close out esports this week, I do think we need to talk about, we have a new patch on live now. I don't know specifically how Apex Season 2 is going to handle it, because I know that they don't, I believe they have a tournament client there, so I don't think that they're always playing on live servers.
I think that they said during the Cloud9 matches that the next match Cloud9 played, they would be on the live servers. I think Monty and Doe were actually talking about that last week, that it would be on the live servers.
Their next match isn't until the 14th. Of
yeah,
February,
I know. So it's for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a, well, there's another match before then, right?
Yeah, it's just not Cloud Nine. So I don't know if the next match in a week, I don't know if that match will be on the live servers, but I know that they did say that by the time Cloud Nine played again, that it would be on the live servers. So at least we know that.
Sure. Okay. So assuming that we're going to see the new patch soon, what are you guys thinking about the meta shifts? Rosh, I'm really going to leave heavily on you. What heroes do you think are going to start to rise up with the changes to Ana and D.Va specifically? Because I feel like those are the two that are so into the meta now who saw the biggest changes.
It's kind of hard to make a guess as to what characters are going to come back because the meta is still, triple tank is still definitely viable in the current meta. The thing that really changed, though, was that instead of it just having to be triple tank to win a competitive esports game, the Ana nerfs and the Roadhog nerfs and the D.Va nerfs opened up DPS viable comps to rival the triple tank. So you're going to start seeing teams like Cloud9, for example, who Sure4 and Mendo are better on their DPS counters. You're going to probably see Cloud9 starting to run these DPS, these 2-2-2 teams, which we haven't seen in forever, against triple tanks. So that's the major change. As for guessing what heroes we're going to start to see, it's kind of hard because the meta is still trying to settle and you're still seeing a lot of triple tank right now. People are still figuring out the best way to counter that. And if it's better to run, you know, Mendo or Sure4 on Tracer, even though Tracer isn't the best or whatnot, because they're just so good at it, it can actually be viable. But I'd probably see, you might see Reaper a little more now that D.Va's shield doesn't just completely open everything from Reaper. Past that, you're definitely going to see Tracers. I think Genji is going to become more of a factor in the competitive scene again.
What about Zenyatta? Sure. How do you feel about Zenyatta? Do you think that he'll
be more selective. I think that if the competitive or if the enemy team is running a triple tank, you'll see a Zen. But if they aren't, I think you'll see Lucio more. So I think that now that triple tank isn't a must-have to win a game, you'll see less of Zenyatta and more of Ana Lucio.
Okay, cool. This one goes a little bit into uncharted territories, but do you guys see any teams at Apex? Or honestly, do we know NGE if they're going to be on live servers?
I have no idea.
We're going to assume they're not. So let's just skip this to Apex. Do you think that there's any teams at Apex that might struggle with these new changes?
Thinking about the teams that are at Apex, I don't think so, because I think that everybody struggled more with triple tank meta being a thing. I think that now that DPS is becoming more viable, all these teams are just going to do better. I feel like triple tank really hurt competitive teams and not all of them. You had a lot of flex players for these teams. So I feel like it's just going to benefit all of the teams way more than it hurt the teams when triple tank was a thing.
Cool. All right, so that's going to do it for esports this week. Again, please send me your feedback on the esports fast break. It does take quite a bit of time. I woke up at 9 a.m. and I edited it until 4 p.m.
Oh,
so it's a time-crunching thing, so I'm really holding on to people's feedback and stuff as to if we'll do that in the future and if it's worth it. So please, please, please let me know. Twitch chat, YouTube, Discord, email, all that stuff. Next week, we do have some great matches coming up. We have NGE Winter Premier Live Finals at PAX South. That's January 27th and 28th. We've got four teams left. So we're going to start off seeing Immortals versus Luminosity Gaming. And Immortals actually dropped out of the monthly melee last minute, which made room for Denial Esports. And we have Complexity versus Kangarna in Group B. We also have Apex Season 2 Group C and D next week. So, yeah, that's going to do it. We've got some blue posts this week that we wanted to talk about as well. Before we get out of here, and I pressed a button on accident. Okay, it's just function. Just the function button. Doesn't do anything. So, we got a pretty interesting a question from a slightly disgruntled person, but I think that the heart of their question was great. And I think Jeff Kaplan saw that, and that's why he answered. The question was, how does the development team balance how players communicate how they feel while playing the game versus internal numbers and statistics? And Jeff Kaplan took the time to reply, and he kind of said, well, we try to balance all of these things. And they say the three things they look at most are, number one, player feedback, two, statistics, three, our own instincts as players and designers. He goes on to say, I'm oversimplifying the process here, but try to provide some insight into how decisions are made. Time, resources, and technology all play a large role in this as well, but hopefully we'll give a better understanding of why we do the things we do. So I thought that was just great of him to respond and acknowledge what a developer, like, it's really easy to say, you know, to want to say, I'm a developer, I know everything, I make games for a living, I know how they should be played. And I thought that this was a really good response from Jeff. Jimmy, did you think that there was anything in this response that was exceptionally good or slightly alarming? Or were you just overall like, all right, Lord Jeff, I'm with you.
Anyone who knows me knows I generally tend to side with Blizzard. And I definitely agree on this. Jeff Kaplan, I think, is a really solid response. And it's always nice to see responses to player feedback that can be construed as negative or not necessarily as positive as some others. So I really like this. I mean, as someone who kind of has an idea of how game design works, it's not a huge surprise to me that this is how it is. I'm sure some people want more details on how exactly they go through this process, but I really enjoyed this post. I really enjoy Blizzard's communication through the entire Overwatch community, and some of their other game franchises could learn from them. But yeah, it was really good. Player feedback is always going to be important, and it's even in those eight core values of Blizzard, so it's not a surprise that that is up there.
Yeah. Rosh, anything to add there?
I before I played Overwatch, I actually played a game that was dying, and it was called Star Wars:
Monopoly.
The Old Republic. And
oh,
no! Monopoly's doing better than Swords are. But a big thing that the community really hated with BioWare and the devs for Star Wars was that they didn't communicate with us. They didn't tell us our thought process. They were always changing things based on how they felt. They weren't really listening to the community. They weren't, you know, putting multiple things into factors with why they were making their decision processes. And that made a lot of the community that still played really mad. So having gone from that game to Overwatch, it still amazes me how transparent Kaplan is being with us and how open that they're being with all of what they're changing, why they're doing what they're doing, why it's taking so long. I mean, last week we talked about the dev update that he gave us about the PTR and why the changes that they make for the PTR sometimes take so long. And he's always super forgiving about, you know, why console changes take forever. And he tries to make it as transparent as possible that it's up to PS4 and Xbox and Microsoft, and it's not just them. So I feel bad for the people who find ways to flame Kaplan and Blizzard for all of this, because it's not all their fault. And you can tell from everything that they've been posting with the dev updates that they're really trying to be as open as possible with the people who play the game so that they don't have anything more than they should to worry about. So I really, really like it, and I hope they continue to do it.
Something that I think is true, though, too, is you're right. The more people, like, it's really surprising with the way that people flame. But I find that the more that Jeff Kaplan's, and I think of him specifically, but I know other developers have done it as well. Jeff Goodman is another one that comes to mind. It just raises the stock in the actual majority of the community who really love the game and understand and are a little bit more understanding of a player base and of a community. I just find that it raises their stock there. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, you and I play a little bit of console, though, and we got, to Rosh's point, console got flamed a little bit on the Battle.net forums, and Jeff Kaplan himself responded to this one as well. And the ultimate complaint was Torbjorn and Symmetra are way too powerful, and Blizzard said that they were going to balance the consoles and the PCs separately, and console players are really excited about that. But with the most recent changes, specifically to Symmetra and to Torbjorn, it has felt like while they may not be overly strong on console or on PC, they are on console. So, basically, all Jeff says is we've been watching them closely. Up until recently, they were in lockstep with PC, and then now they've started to diverge, and they're taking a look. Reporting as well, they're coming out with a feature for PS4 and Xbox, so it sounds like that's going to be an actual Battle.net-type feature. Can you guys hear Katie in the background? Did you just hear her?
I didn't hear her.
I did not.
As long as you guys didn't hear it, I don't think I have to edit that swear word out. That's my girlfriend playing Overwatch on console. I was about to say,
she's playing Torbjorn.
Yeah, probably. They said they don't have an exact ETA because there's a lot of moving parts. But they're hoping to hit that before summer or sooner. So, pretty cool. Number one, we're hearing some console feedback. And number two, we will start to see potentially the balance and the meta diverge a little bit. You might start seeing different balance changes on console and PC. What do you take out of all of this, Jimmy?
I think it's good. You want to keep both communities healthy, and console play is just a little bit different. And so I think what I read, how I interpreted what was said on the forums, was they had nerfed the damage of turrets for Torb and Symmetra, but now that there's the new hero limit on both quick play and competitive, Torb and Symmetra don't feel nearly as strong anymore. And so I think this player was looking to revert that. I think it was a 30% damage just across the board for turrets. And I'm glad that Jeff is responding, because we don't really talk a whole lot about console on this show, but there are a lot of console players, obviously, because we just talked about 25 million players across all three platforms. And I have to say, I'm disappointed that there's no report feature at launch. I didn't even realize that. I guess it means that they haven't ran into anybody annoying on console, but actually pretty disappointing to me
there is a report option, but it goes directly to Xbox and Microsoft, right?
Oh, okay.
So you can report, but you have to go into their gamer card and you report them, and you get this threatening little email saying, you were reported negatively and blah, 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 blah. So, there is that, but it doesn't go directly to Blizzard, which, you know, implies that then that feedback isn't actually getting to the developers, which I think is important, right? Especially when it comes to balance issues and things like that. Kind of back to the console PTR thing. So, yeah. Well, I think anything else you want to add on any of the topics of the show here? Closing thoughts. We're good?
No, I think we hit it all.
All right, good.
I'm just excited to explore this new meta or figure it out. It'll be fun.
So, Jimmy, I don't know why we didn't talk. We should have like linked it in chat or something, but the video of King's Row, I don't know why I just randomly thought of that. Jimmy actually linked us a video on King's Row about the second checkpoint after you capture the point A and you're actually moving the payload. That's the third spawn point, the one right before the last checkpoint. There's actually a room next time you're on King's Row and you're attacking. Look to your right if you spawn in that before that third, look to your right. There's a hallway there that leads you up to the building up top and over the guard railing of that third checkpoint. And it just blew my mind because I was just talking about it on my stream about, you know, if you've ever noticed a doorway in your house that you've never seen before and it just completely blows your mind, it will rock your world. So definitely check that out. I know we didn't talk about that on our show at all. And you said closing thoughts about anything, but it was hilarious.
Just the thread alone is amazing because there's all these people like, oh, I'm 4K and I totally knew about this.
I have never seen it in my life. Never seen it. I was flabbergasted when you posted that video.
Yeah. We should have had Skyline on telling us about map awareness.
Right? Map awareness in the spawn point.
We should see if Skyline knew about it.
Yeah.
All right. He's got a video to do. Secret tech on King Grove. new area discovered.
Yeah, well, time is money, friends, and we're almost flat broke. All right, we gotta get out of here for the week. This has been a fun show. This one felt really good to me for some reason. I don't know why. But it was always a blast. Thank you to everyone who turned out in chat. For those listening throughout the week, at work, in your car, wherever you are, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the show. If you like the show and you want to contribute to it, you actually can. Send us your emails to thepayload@blizzpro.com. I take any emails, any of them, and I'm pretty good at responding, even if it's not something that we can talk about or not something that you want to talk about. I'm still pretty good about responding. I'd love to hear your feedback again on the esports fast break, because I really don't want to put time into that. If nobody appreciates or likes, not even appreciates, but if people just don't like it and find it helpful, if you're not going to appreciate the cooking of my liver and onions for you. Anyways, so send us your emails to thepayload@blizzpro.com. Patrons, what do we got going on in Patreon land this week, Jimmy?
We have all sorts of stuff going on. But first of all, thanks to our MVPs, Adam B, J.A. Coral, and Tommy H. Without you all, we couldn't make this show happen. And we really, really appreciate your support. If you'd like to show your support for the show, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast and check out all the wonderful rewards there. We're still very close to our $200 merch store. So make sure to check that out, and we might get some t-shirts with our logo on it soon.
Woo! All right, what do we got going on in iTunes land, Rosh?
iTunes. We 5-star reviews help us a lot on a week-to-week basis, so thank you bunches and bunches to Captain Rogers for leaving us one this last week. I think you left it on last Thursday, and it came up after our podcast, so I didn't get a thank you for it previously. So, massive shout-out to you. It was a funny comment about how you never remember where I live, but he still appreciates that I'm on the podcast. John. We've been getting a lot of super sweet 5-star reviews from you guys, and we're beyond thankful for them. They support the podcast so, so much. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcasts if you haven't left one for us and you would like to.
Awesome. Good job, guys. It only took us 54 episodes to get that to get that down. So good. I feel good about that too. All right. Before we get out of the week, shout outs for the week, and where can people find you, Jimmy?
I am at DJ Tyrant on Twitter. Make sure to follow me there for all my streaming stuff and casting stuff for Heroes of the Storm. I got this green screen here. Once I get better lighting, we'll get that to use. But yeah, with the green screen, I think it's going to encourage me to play and stream a little bit more. So make sure to check that out. Twitch.tv/DJ Tyrant.
Awesome. What about you, Rosh? Where can people find you, and shout outs for the week?
Shout outs for the week. I'll go ahead and start without with you guys. I'll go ahead and start out with you guys, not without you guys. I've received a ton of support from you guys in my stream this week. So I just Like, I really seriously could not do this without you guys. You guys changed my life. So huge shout out to you as the viewers. You mean everything to me on an every single daily basis kind of thing. You can find me on Twitter at F2K_OKIt'sRosh. And then my Twitch as well is just OKIt'sRosh. I will actually be streaming after this podcast if you want to stop by and say hi and hang out. We might do some capture the flag. I might just do some ranked on my Smurf, but you can find me there as well.
Awesome. As for me, you can find me streaming sometimes at twitch.tv/kickedtripod. But the easiest way to find all my stuff besides blizzpro.com is heading over to kickedtripod.com. There's links to my Discord. There's links to my Twitch page, my Twitter, and everything. Everything's at kicktripod, if it's easier for you that way. But yeah, come and hang out. We're doing lots of cool stuff. I also said I was going to talk about Discord. We really want to create a more active community with you guys. And that starts with what we think is the best platform to do that right now. MySpace. Just kidding. Discord. It is.
Can
Discord.
I be on your top 8?
Yep. You're my top 8. Oh, that was so cool. That was such a brilliant idea. Yes. Anyways, head on over to discord.gg/blizzpro. We've got a payload channel in there, Well Met channel, Heroes Power Hour channel, Westmarch Workshop, Paul Blart Mall Cop. Every time I try to say that,
I mess that up every week on my show when I try to promote it.
Every freaking time.
Westmarch Workshop.
Westmarch Workshop. Paul Blart Mall Cop. Jack Black was on Community.
Watermelon, like, watermelon, watermelon.
Yeah. I have all my vocal exercises and for the W's, Westmarch Workshop. We're going to get out of here. All right. Thank you for tuning in for episode of 54 of The Payload. You can find more great Overwatch stuff throughout the week at overwatch.blizzpro.com. The show records live every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/blizzpro. And we're on Twitter at Payload Podcast. Lost my place. The Payload is primarily supported by you, our fans. Join the Payload. Jimmy, you all right? Join the Payload family and find out how you can support at patreon.com/payload podcast. And we also love your emails. Send us your questions and comments to thepayload@blizzpro.com. And your five-star reviews are sexy. So we love your five-star iTunes reviews. We like to dress them up in sexy lingerie and walk them out onto the end of the show every week. and mankinis. Take a second to leave a five-star review and we'll mispronounce your name on the next show. And of course, a special thanks to Jake Butno for music. This has been episode 54. We'll see you next week.